Welcome to The Art of Growth. This is Jim Zartman, and today Joel Hubbard and I are in this exploration as we've been talking through identity, belonging, and contribution. This, who am I? Who are my people? Who do I belong to? Who am I building my life with? And contribution, what is the unique gift I have to offer? What does the true and best version of me get to offer and bring the world around me, where the energy isn't just leaving me, but it's coming from me and it's returning to me? How do I belong to myself and to others and make a contribution that is an overflow from that place? So before we jump into that, the hub of all of our work is theartofgrowth.org. That's where you can sign up for our newsletter. You can take free Enneagram tests. You can book a session with Joel or I as a coach, which some of you might need to do going into this holiday season. And most importantly, right now, there's only a couple weeks left to sign up for the Art of Growth certification, which starts in January. And you can find out more about that or reach out to us about that at theartofgrowth.org. But that's it. Let's just jump in to today's episode. Continuing on this theme, we've been talking identity, belonging. It's been the last couple weeks. But this is part of a much bigger thing that you've been thinking about and doing a lot of work on, writing on. So, yeah, take us to some up-to-date thoughts or things that you're working through.
Yeah. Purpose is a fascinating subject. It always has been for me because I just have felt drawn to it, like from an early age, remembering being inspired by the idea of purpose and, you know, people who would talk about it. I think that we've touched a lot on this in the past, you and I, and we've done podcasts on this, even called one called The Purpose Trap, where there's a sense at which the purpose is external.
Yeah.
And then there's a sense at which it's internal. My latest thinking on it is it's a little bit of both. The external is where we begin, because when you're young, you have to be part of other people's agendas. That's just the way things work.
Yes.
Right? So you're part of a family system, you're part of a school system, you're part of a sports system, you're part of a church system if you went to church. I mean, these are all systems that have agendas, that have a plan, that have a purpose, that tell you essentially, here's your role, right? So particularly if you're, you know, musician or involved in sports, you know, it's like, this is my role.
Yeah.
And it contributes to the whole. I mean, it's a really good thing to learn at a young age.
Yeah.
You impact other people. And you're part of this machinery, terrible analogy, but you're part of this machinery. And
this organism, this living thing, that you're part of this life.
And if you don't play your part, it affects the whole. That's a really good thing to learn. So that's where it begins. And then there's a moment where you begin to wake up a little bit. And usually it comes from a point of crisis, like you had a terrible day at sports, or you realize you're just not good at playing this instrument, you will never be great at it, or someone does something or says something. Yeah. It's really painful experience.
Yeah, I've been a part of this for a long time, and I've slowly even started feeling like an outsider.
Yes, huge.
It's like
one.
There's, I was born in, and then I'm being drawn out.
Very much so. I mean, this happens with family systems too, where people are like, man, I don't feel like I fit.
How did I come from these people?
Yeah. I'm so different. And I think it's universal. I don't think anybody ever feels completely connected or that sense of belonging. And I have a suspicion that it's the universe's, God's, whatever you want to call it, sort of strategy or plan, as if it were. That we never feel this sense of completion or at home or belonging, because it's a homing device and it's kind of designed to pull you forward into creating that which you feel is missing.
Yeah.
And that is part of how things move forward and evolve and continue to grow. It's our participation in it.
I love that, pulling you in to something you feel is missing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what drives or invites us into doing something that we find meaningful, is because we go, oh, there's like a gap in the canvas over here, and I think I could go paint.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a certain amount of fight that has to be in there. When you have that point of crisis, when you have that point of pain, when you have that, if it's all too comfortable, you'll stay in there forever. I mean, it's just, if it's easy, if it's comfortable, mm-hmm. if it's safe, if it's interesting, if it's engaging, if it's whatever, we'll stay there.
If we're getting all of our approval and our affirmation and our, you know, all of our needs met and
We won't leave. Why would you ever leave?
Why would you? Yeah.
You know, and so that's a lot of times what happens. So it takes a point of crises. Whatever that is, whether it's an external or internal. Some people have internal. I've had people recently reach out to me saying, hey, listen, I've achieved a lot of things and now I'm finding myself at a mm-hmm. point of crises. Like, yep. you know, other people wouldn't imagine that because they're pursuing achievement. The crisis is and they're not getting there. You know?
Yeah.
So, but other people are and they're saying, I'm hitting a point of crises.
Yeah.
And it's just as powerful and impactful and like painful, I think, for them as it is for the other.
That reminds me of the Peter Rollins thing about, he talks about the two different ways you can be unhappy.
Oh, yeah.
One of them is you don't get what you want. And if you don't get what you want, then there's this like sense of, there's a real sadness that I'm like, I'm not able to get the thing that I want. And there's a frustration to that. And then the other way to be unhappy is to get the thing you want. And then it lets you down. This is why like Oscar winners like talk about having to go into therapy right away. Cause it's like, well, okay, I got the thing I thought I wanted. Now what?
Now what?
And I think there's the now what, when you get there is just as painful for so many people as
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And so there's like those two different things that we can fall off the edge of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's what I mean by fight is that you have to engage in a sort of fight. A fight against yourself, a fight against the world.
It's like every mythology, you have to fight against the parent, parental unit.
Yeah.
You have to fight against like the where you came from, the limits put on you, the expectations put on you.
Yeah.
You have to fight against all of this. This is all actually part of purpose.
Yeah.
Is the resistance of the imposed
external purpose. And it's good. Now, there's nothing wrong with the external purpose. It maybe in your situation, there's a lot of bad things that did take place in that external system. Absolutely. I've been part of those and I've had tremendous wounds from those places. But at the same time, if you believe in hope and in goodness and in our ability to infinitely evolve, then those things do not become limitations. They become the resistances that produce growth in our lives. And so the external is where we begin. We fight against it. We need to. And then what it does is it causes us to pull way back into that individuation process where we tune into who am I? What am I here for?
Yeah.
What do I like? What do I not like? And it's messy. We don't do this perfectly. We don't do this well. We just do it. You know, I tell people all the time, it's better to do it and do it poorly than not to do it at all. I mean, the worst thing is you don't. You don't ever fight. You don't ever resist. You don't ever tune into who am I and what am I here for? I think those are inextricably linked. Who am I and what am I here for? And that's not a link that is obvious to a lot of people. Because there's a sort of like, well, this is who I am, but this is, you know, and then there's their job, what they do, or the way they go about life.
It's always a story. It's a story that has been told to us. It's a story that we tell ourselves. It's the story that the culture says, well, these are the people you have to be against. This is the thing you have to do. Well, this is what the good life looks like. You have to have X number of, you know, things and, you know, you got to have your house and your 1.2 kids and your two cars and your, like, there's so many things that are superimposed that are part of that story. The pursuit of purpose is coming up against the story that has been either told to us or we've told ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a hope that we are going to get something out of it. Yeah. It's the old trick of the carrot on the stick. Like, if you do all of these things that you just listed, then.
Yeah, then what?
Exactly. Then what?
Then what?
But we do the rest of that. And it happens at a semi-unconscious, but partially conscious way, where we have certain things that we think like, oh, then it'll give me this.
Yeah.
But it's functioning at a deeper level at which we believe it's going to meet a deeper need.
Yeah.
A need for significance, a need for meaning, a need for connection, a need for impact, a need for whatever. And of course it doesn't, but that's part of the systems that we can fall prey to are systems that keep promising us that if we pursue these externals, then we will get there.
Yeah. Those promises are
I don't know. So, like, Abby and I have just been having some conversations about that because, like, those promises are so believable.
Yeah.
And there's certain ones that I've definitely been struggling with through lately. And we were just at breakfast last week having this conversation about how something that I've really been struggling through a lot lately is this whole thing around the story and the belief and, like, well, if you do, then it will feel right. And how I always give my all to something being like, yeah, this is it. We're going to do this and it's going to feel like this and it's going to have this sense of purpose to it. But I engage with the process and I try not to be attached to the result, but there's still so much attachment to the result. Mm-hmm. Like that it's going to have, you know, for me, the impact I desire, the influence I desire, so whatever,
yeah.
That it's going to go from me and then it will expand on its own and impact other people that I have nothing to do with. And I was talking to her about this feeling, and I'm sharing this, I'm guessing I'm not the only person that has this sense of anytime you do anything, you feel like almost. It's always almost.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is always almost. But then there's always this little bit of like, but it didn't really fill in the blank.
Yeah.
It was supposed to fill in the blank, yeah. But it didn't really fill in the blank. And then I think a lot of us are like spinning around going like, well, okay, well, what's my motivation? Was I really being drawn then? Or mm-hmm. was this like a drive? And where was that drivenness coming from? And that whole driven to drawn thing that I think can be a part of that conversation too. But I think when you're dealing with purpose, there's this sense that even if you do the thing that you feel like should fulfill.
But there's a difference between if you're pursuing purpose as a outcome, purely outcome-based.
Yes, this.
It is necessary to have outcomes. I'm not into this belief that we should sit in lotus position and just, you know, meditate our lives away.
Yeah.
I think that's here.
That can be avoidance.
That's an avoidance as well, right. Sure. I think we're here to, it's a combination, it's a mixture, it's a conversation between all of it. Like, yes, you do need to meditate. Yes, you do need to tune inwardly, but you also need to tune outwardly and pay attention to the impact you're having. So it's not like we're saying no outcome-based, but we're saying we've become right. too outcome-based in many of our concepts about purpose. Like,
yes,
now that I'm not part of a larger external purpose, I've developed my own internal purpose. Here's my internal purpose. I want to fill in the blank. I want to do this. Well, whatever this is, it has an outcome to it in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You got to tune into it. It's impossible for us not to have it. There's nothing wrong with it. That's where you begin.
Yeah.
But in doing so, there's also a shift, and this is the sort of next level, I think, in terms of our growth, is you get more into that place of living with purpose and doing things with purpose instead of pursuing some kind of outcome-based purpose.
Hey, so I needed to pop into the middle of this episode to remind you that if you are wanting to use the Enneagram more in your own life, become more proficient in it, and would like to learn from us about how to do that, the Art of Growth Certification course is starting this January 2023 and will run for 12 weeks. And you can sign up for that at theartofgrowth.org under the Classes and Events section. So go to our website and sign up and become certified with us before it's too late. All right, back to the show, folks.
Is you get more into that place of living with purpose and doing things with purpose instead of pursuing some kind of outcome-based purpose.
That if I do this, then I'll feel a sense of purpose.
I will get this, yes. Yeah. Then I will have peace. Then I will have hope. Then I will have love. Then I will have significance. Then I will have these things. And yet, at the same time, like, should you be significant? Yes, I think you should.
Yeah.
Should you be, you know, hopeful? And yes, I think you should.
Yeah.
But it can't be by the means of the external alone. Like, if I achieve these things, then I will have that.
Mm.
It is, I would like to put this into this world because it's consistent with who I am, at least at this point. And so that's what I'm living with right now. My hope is that it produces some good results. That's what my hope is. But if it doesn't, I still need to live authentically. And I still need to be who I am in these spaces. And that is vulnerable because you're not as protected when you do that. You're not as guarded. You're not as safe when you open up and live more authentic to who you are becoming. I'm careful of not saying who you are because it's not a fixed state, right? So it's who you are in this moment, who you're becoming.
Yeah.
And as we stay authentic with process, with growth, with change, the changes that are happening within us, as we stay authentic to that, I think in that place we can live more with that I'm living on purpose, you know, and staying as consistent as I can with the purpose that I'm seeing is emerging from within me.
Which is why I think questions do drive this better. And we've had this conversation. I think we even did this in a class before, which is when it comes to this question, asking yourself, like, what do you want to see more of in the world?
Yeah.
And that question, I come back to it because it kind of saves me in a lot of ways. I don't know if it would everyone, but for me, it kind of saves me from the judgments I put on myself, the expectations that if it doesn't do X, Y, Z, then was it really worth my effort?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so those are the questions that I can get stuck in. And, you know, everyone, you have to discover what are the questions you get stuck in? What's the ways that you trap you, that your type traps you, you know, and that would be mine. But I think that one of the ways out, the escape hatches for me is this question, like, well, did I put into the world today something that I wanted to see more of? You know, and what is a value that I have? Because I think, I'll put it this way. So some of the purposes, quote unquote, that I thought were purposes that I've pursued was basically living into someone else's dream, which is a surefire way to fail. What someone else thinks is valuable, what someone else thinks is really, this is what it looks like. And like I've coached, you know, people who they lived in that because that's, well, this is what my parents said was meaningful. And though I've pursued that and it's like not doing it for me. I totally get that. I think that one of the ways out is just like, well, what do you want to see in the world? And can that be that internal and external thing that it was like satisfying to me internally?
If you're looking for belonging, this comes back to belonging, the sense of, do I fit in this world? You know, do I belong in this world? I think that understanding your what it is you want to put into this world and being authentically more who you are allows you to not just fit, which is an adaptive strategy. Like I've got to edit. I've got to belong to this part because if I belong to this group, then if I fit into this group, I belong to this group kind of thing. Yeah. This one allows you to belong more authentically. Like you start to live out who you are and you have this conversation with the external world. Again, in purposes, internal, external. Like, oh, that's interesting. People's feedback is this. Let me think about that. Not just like, no, well, this is who I am authentically. Or, or go on the other extreme of, oh, I'll become anything, you know, and become what you think other people need you to be.
Yeah.
Well, that conversation starts to open things up for you. You might realize like, oh, that's interesting. Somebody noticed something in me that I didn't even see. Or the feedback was a little painful, but wow, really good point. I wonder if that's true about me. And then as you turn more inwardly, you have this conversation, there are realizations like, I thought this was me, but look, well, the feedback I got was this, and it turns out to be true. And as I do this, I would have never been a coach, never would have entered into coaching years ago. I mean, the joke was for people who knew me in ministry was Joel only meets with people 2 to 3 times and then he's done. That was the joke. And so everybody around me knew that. My staff, my support team, they took that load from me. And it would take me years to finally start to pay attention to some of the things I was getting back in feedback from people. And that's what started to open my eyes to the possibility that actually I might really like this, but maybe differently than I thought. And it turned out, it was a lot of factors that were involved in that, but one of them was people's feedback around my coaching or my, in that case, it was more of like, you know, giving spiritual advice to people. Yeah. And, you know, and so as I began to pay attention to that, I asked myself that question, is this something that I would really want to do? And is this really who I am? And as I began to explore that external, man, it woke up something internal that was always there. And it healed some internal things that was also there. And so I think the process is a conversation between those two. Who are you becoming? What do you feel like is a thing you want to put out into the world? And then what's the world's feedback? And in that conversation, in that process, belonging starts to take place. Because I'm convinced belonging is not a state of being. It's a practice and a process.
Yes. Right. And part of that being that belonging to yourself first. And being honest about like, well, this is kind of the way I'm wired. Yeah. And I think one of the first things that people actually have to decide is, am I more that pioneer or settler? Because the thing is, for you, it's not like a fixed thing. Like, if I do this, then I'm living in my purpose.
There's no fix. No.
It's almost the very nature of it requires a constant change and evolution.
Yeah.
Because you actually lose your sense of purpose if it gets too finite, focused, and myopic. Like, if it's too small, you lose that sense of purpose.
Yeah.
Whereas some people, they're the settlers. They're going to build the roads and the schools, and they're going to make things be kind of more anchored, and that's the way they're wired. Mm-hmm. And so if they're in an environment that is like constant evolution, constant change, constant this, they could get very frustrated in that environment. And then others who are in an environment that needs to have that like consistency, it's about just going at a slow and steady pace, and that's going to frustrate them. Because they're wired in a way that like needs that evolution, needs that movement, needs that dynamic kind of thing. And so their purpose, the very energy of that thing can be enhancing or getting in the way of the way your purpose is
wired. That's absolutely right. There's this sort of, and that's the external we're talking about, the external structures that support the internal. So if you're, for example, let's take a type one. Okay, so you're type one and you have a desire to see improvement, see things change in your world. Like you believe that things can be better.
Yeah.
And you have a particular area of interest for you. It's like, you know, I really believe that political structures, local governmental structures can be better. And that's an area of frustration for you. And so you're getting yourself involved in that space. Purpose can look like, my purpose is to be a politician. My purpose is to be a civil engineer. My purpose is to be a, and you can start to name it. And that becomes like, in your mind, a fixed, static role. That's your purpose. And what I say to people is, it's never that. It's always something that is more fluid and underneath that. Mm-hmm. Even if the external structure for you stays the same, because that gives you a sense of stability, and that's what you need. That's wonderful. So to your point about settlers and pioneers, perfect. You need that? Great. But it's that thing underneath. It's like, I'm an eternal optimist in the sense that believes that things could be better. And I want to improve things. And it happens to be that my focus is in this space, is in how people interact with people, or how structures from a governmental standpoint, how they impact people, how they can really benefit people, right? That thing is much more of your purpose than it would be, say, the actual role you're in.
The role is not the purpose.
Right.
The function within the role is the purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's where a lot of people get lost, is because they think they'll have this fulfillment of sense of purpose if they have a particular title, a particular level of, you know, education or level of success or level of even this length of a relationship, you know, whatever. It can be kind of like, if I have this status, that is a fulfillment of purpose. And I think that's why so many people actually get frustrated, is because, they're like living someone else's dream. I was just thinking of the American Idol singers that come in, and they're just like the terrible ones. I remember seeing this one girl, and then the thing where it dawned on her, she goes, oh my God, I'm one of the bad ones. And she actually said that.
Yeah.
Like, up until that point, she thought she was like a really like great singer, and all these people had told her she's so great. Yeah. And then, but she knew how the show worked.
Yeah.
And it was one of these like epiphanies, like, oh my goodness. And she's like laughing, but you also know, like, you had built something up that I will feel good about life if I'm one of these people. And you realize, like, I am not at all. Oh no. And to see that look come over someone's face where they realize it, you're just like, oh good, you actually realize. Because I feel bad for the people who walk out the door and like, well, they just don't see, and I'm really great, and I'm going to keep after this thing. And it's just like, you are not made for this thing.
Right.
And you're made for something.
Right. And that's the tune. Exactly. And that's the tuning. That's much more of the looking at the external structures and support and position. So that includes positions, yeah, titles as the means.
Yeah. Then I'll end. Feel.
Then I will feel this. Yeah. I will feel significant. I will feel meaningful. I will feel impactful. I will feel whatever. The internal is there's something underneath. And it's, you were told that it was you being a singer, but there's something underneath. What is that thing? What is that thing? Are you a performer? Is that what's really underneath that? Because you would have been a performer 3,000 years ago in a different culture, different, you know, different world altogether. You would have been a performer. Just like the illustration with the type one who cares about governmental structures. Man, they would have, as long as human civilization has been around, that person would have been interested, had they been born back then, in that as well. And that is consistent. That consistently flows through in all dimensions. You don't need a title. You don't need a position to actually manifest that more, but in a in more of a constructive way. And so you're choosing, it's the purpose is really, I'm choosing to live this out and to live into it as much as I can and let things evolve from there instead of trying to make it, I need the approval of the external world, or I need some kind of, for everything to fall into place for me to be able to live into it, not even recognizing that that's really one of your main purposes in life.
Well, and you just said evolve into it. This is where trust comes back into it again, which is, do you trust that where you are right now is a part of that?
Very much.
Is that, do you know that this is a part of the becoming?
Yeah.
Regardless of if it feels like, but no, this is the pursuit and that will be the becoming. You're like, no, like wherever you are right now.
That's it.
It's this.
Yeah.
It's this.
It's living with purpose right here in this moment.
Yeah. That's what I opened my book with. I just said, it's this, that's all, and it's enough.
Yeah.
Because if it's anything other than this, if it's only when, it's not until, it's if I get, you know, if there's any of those qualifiers, or actually not, I think in the authentic place of like, no, this is, it's this.
Yeah.
Like whoever you are right now is part of that.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for listening. We are still collecting a lot more stories for the next season. There's a link on our Instagram, Art of Growth, to do that, as well as the newsletter that went out last Friday. If you didn't catch that, make sure you check and make sure you got that. If you haven't subscribed to our newsletter, you can do that at theartofgrowth.org as well. But for now, my friends, the holiday seasons are upon us, and that brings up a lot of things for a lot of people. So today, I actually want to end by saying, please be good to yourself and show yourself a ton of grace through this season. No matter what the ups and downs are that you are feeling, you're experiencing, give a little extra room and a little extra permission to experience everything your system says you need to experience, even if you want to resist it or naturally would. It's okay. We're cheering for you. And you can trust that you are continuing in your becoming. Grace and growth, my friends.